It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin, pleasure to have you with us this morning. A new 2 billion rand telecommunications satellite will be dedicated exclusively to Africa is set for launch in 2010.
That's right. You know, South Africa has been making use of about 25 different satellites from Intelsat alone, but now we're going to have a dedicated African satellite for telecommunications, and telecommunications is burgeoning in Africa, and telecommunications from a satellite point of view are ideal because Africa has these vast spaces and not great people density, so using a satellite is ideal. And good news is that, you know, South Africans are deeply involved in this satellite. It'll be called New Dawn. It'll be launched towards the last quarter of 2010 and become operational in 2011. But 90% of the finance is coming from South Africa, and we see that Nedbank are backing it, and also the state-owned Industrial Development Corporation. And more than half of the capacity has already been taken up with firm contracts worth about 3 billion rand. So we see a very viable project going in, a lot of South African involvement, and a growing telecommunications offtake. Already there are 339 million cell phone subscribers in Africa. There's very limited use of the internet, so a lot more broadband could come into the picture. And coming in there is this international global Intelsat, which is prepared to move in with this big investment and operate as satellites, which will be exclusively used for Africa.
And what about the carbon storage atlas that's been developed in South Africa? Apparently this in a bid to help quell the global climate change problem.
Yes, you know, we are a coal economy. We actually are energized by coal. We not only get 90% of our electricity from coal, we even drive on coal. You know, our cars, even our aircraft fly on coal. So we are a carbon economy, but the downside these days is the emissions into the atmosphere. And how do you capture that CO2, which is causing a lot of climate change, not only in the world, but in Africa, and then store it permanently? And this is the big challenge. So the South African government has given Sanere the backing to go in and create an atlas where the possible sites could be, where we could inject the CO2 that's emitted by the coal into geological areas where it will either be absorbed into the rock or it will be safe and sealed. And they are drawing up this atlas. The big concern is that, you know, will it be the Karoo Basin and maybe Mossel Bay that will provide these storage areas where you can capture the carbon and then store them? And how far are they from the actual emissions, and what will it cost to actually pipe the carbon dioxide? So there's a lot of skepticism around this carbon capture and storage, particularly the cost. But the UN is pushing it. We've just had this meeting in Poland where the UN Climate Change Committee is looking for carbon and capture and storage to be one of the solutions, and the International Energy Agency wants 20 of these to be developed around the world. But it's still very novel how you're going to do it. South Africa is going to have to keep watching, I think, and be climate change ready without actually investing too much at the moment.
And what about the public infrastructure of 600 billion rands? Is it still intact given the global financial meltdown and issues around capacity and so on?
Every country in the world now is going for financial stimulus and economic stimulus through infrastructure. And fortunately, South Africans have already got this good program in place, which is about 600 billion rand over 5 years. Now, we see the new US President Barack Obama, he's expected to announce some 775 billion rands worth of investment into infrastructure. We see the Chinese President Xi Jinping, he's already announced $700 billion worth of investment into infrastructure. Everybody's looking to infrastructure to stimulate. And we got a bit of a shock in South Africa because we had this program firmly put in place, and then suddenly Eskom said, no, we're not going ahead with our nuclear program. And immediately we're extending that out. And that sent a few shivers around, people saying, well, can AXA then change its program? Can Transnet then change its program? It looks like the Transnet expenditure program, 80 billion rands worth, looks firmly in place. There doesn't seem to be any change to that. It also seems that they'll be able to raise about 13 billion rand offshore in their 21 billion rand program, that these diesel locomotives will still be coming in the numbers over 200 and maybe even going up to 400. And then AXA, which has had a fantastically phenomenal growth over the last 5 years, perhaps there's talk that they might be slowing down. But what can fill the gaps? We see IPPs coming through. So the private sector coming into energy could be the infrastructural investment providers to fill any gaps where there is a lack of investment that had been announced. And these IPPs, we saw Eskom looking at quite a few private sector initiatives to come in with new power stations. There's also now the water issue with the Lesotho Highlands project going ahead with 7 billion rand and an important one because it won't use as much energy as if we had the alternative coming through from KwaZulu-Natal, because fortunately the Lesotho Highlands is in an elevated position, so the water will come down by the force of gravity and we won't have to spend electricity to pump it down. So good advantage there. And then other things that could fill the gap, you know, the transport infrastructure. But everybody holding thumbs that most of our 600 billion public infrastructure program will remain intact despite the global financial problems.
Martin Creamer, thanks very much for talking to us this morning. Publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. And he'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday.